Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you wherever you appear, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 15th chapter of Genesis. God promises childless and aging Abraham that a child of his own will be his heir, and that his descendants will number as many as the stars. Abram trusts God's promise, and through his faith, he is considered righteous. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house in Elizur of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to be him as righteousness. The word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 33. Verses 12 through 22 responsively. It's inside the back cover of your bulletin. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven and sees all humankind.
God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God fashions all their hearts.
A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength.
The horse is vain though for victory. Despite his great strength, he cannot save.
Truly, your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love.
To deliver their lives from death, and to keep them alive in time of famine.
Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield.
Surely our hearts rejoice in you, for in your holy name we put our trust.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you. The second reading is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Abraham and Sarah exemplify the vision of faith that people of God enact in every age. Their hope and trust in God's promise allow them to face an unknown future and to receive the promise of God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that was to receive his inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old. And Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful, for he had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For the people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, He has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, guys. You look awfully serious. Well, I brought something along, and this is something that I might wear. I might. You think it would be a nice thing to wear? You like that? Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
What does that say about me? What is that? It's a dollar sign, isn't it? A money sign? And if I hang that, then it's gold even, isn't it? Does that say I'm rich? Doesn't? Well, I thought it would tell people I was rich. Well, I usually don't wear that because I'm not rich. And besides, I don't think that's something I want people to know about me. But I do have something else that I like to wear. Here. This is one I like to wear. What does this say about me? I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus and the cross. That tells a whole lot. Do you have, I don't see any of you wearing necklaces. You don't have any necklaces? Do you have anything in your pocket that shows that you're a Christian? You don't? Well, if I give you one, would you carry it in your pocket for a while? Would you? Okay. What's this one say? That's a cross. Would you like to carry that in your pocket? All right. So it tells people about you. Let's see. Here's another one. And here's another one. And let's see. I'm out of that kind, but I have this kind. And what do each of those say about you?
Christians.
You're Christians? And what about yours? What is it?
Hands,
what are they doing? Are they praying? Praying hands. So it means that you're praying. Well, I got some others here, but they don't really say that. But sometimes what we carry in our pockets or what we wear as jewelry says a lot about us. So if somebody says, are you really a believer, honey? Are you? What do you have in your pocket? Well, no, what are you going to put in your pocket? What is it? Yeah, that tells all about you. Now, suppose it was illegal and you get arrested. In fact, they'd even say shoot you if you were a Christian. Would they find any evidence on you? What's in your pocket? Aha! That shows you're a Christian, right? So, Jesus wants us to be witnesses. And he wants us to pray. Last week we talked about, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. And we need to pray that too. So, how would it be if we pray now? Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us signs and symbols that we can carry and wear that show that we belong to you. Bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, if any of you have been following my sermon titles, you might have noticed that I follow kind of a pattern. In fact, I look way ahead at the lessons that we will have. I've looked ahead. I think I have sermon titles for the next couple of months because I like to see a flow. And those of you who may have been here a few weeks ago might remember that I asked the question, what do you say to God? And we talked about how Sarah and Abraham, who didn't have any children, were told that they were going to have a child. And what was Sarah's response?
She laughed.
Right. So I asked, how do you respond to God? The next week, I followed that up by asking, well, what do you say to God? How do you talk to God? Do you use big, lofty words, big words that really impress God? Or do you talk right down where you live? Do you talk in a language that is like you would talk to your best friend? Intimate, close relationship. Or as Jesus said, Abba, or his daddy, or we could say mommy, as you would talk to somebody you really love and trust. Well, last week, I asked, well, what's it all about? What does it mean to have God speak to us? And what does it mean for us to speak to God? Do we really live what we say? Do we put it in our hearts so that it is part of our heart, our mind, our soul? Well, this week, I wanted to pick up on that because sometimes what we say we believe and what we talk about in church is more like water off a duck's back. You know, or as some people say, in one ear and out the other, and then we go home and do our own thing. But does it really mean anything? And since I use that phrase, like water off a duck's back, if that's the way our faith is, it's pretty empty. So I picked up on a phrase from Steve Martin, the comedian. What do you say to a duck? Now, how many know how to talk duck? You see what we got? We've got a problem right from the very beginning. Nobody knows how to talk duck. And oh, do you? Very good. You got your own duck call.
That's correct.
I didn't even think about that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, everybody should be able to talk to a duck. You know, Steve Martin says, the question is, how do you do it? Do you say duck, 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 duck? Or do you blow a horn? Or do you say, oh, duck, wonderful duck? You know, well, however you want to talk to a duck. But the point was, you should practice talking to a duck. Because otherwise, when it comes an opportunity to talk to a duck, you won't have a clue how to do it. Well, the same thing is true when you talk to God. If you don't talk to God, and you don't practice talking to God, you won't know what to do when the opportunity comes. I studied German when I was in college. And then I didn't study it again for another 20 years. And boy, when I went to Germany, I was practically lost. I had to relearn everything I'd lost. And then we studied at Heidelberg University for a month and really got my German down. But that's been several years ago. So if I meet with somebody who speaks German, I really have to work at it. We have to practice. We have to learn what it really means to speak God's language. And in that regard, there was an article in a paper in India where a Hindu writer was recommending to all of India that they adopt American Christianity. And the reason he said that, he said, in India, we give all to our religion and make ourselves poor. But American Christians, it's the cheapest religion in the world. They spend more on gasoline. They spend more on sports and their toys, their big toys, than they do on their faith that they claim to believe in. Wow. What an indictment. And yet, we are called upon to have the kind of faith that sees us through. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our heart? Where is our soul? Where are we in terms of all of the things that we say we believe? Abraham had a tremendous faith. He was a wealthy man by all standards. He had cattle, he had sheep, he had goats, he had donkeys, he had camels. In terms of the world around him in the nomadic world, he had everything he could hope for, except one thing. He didn't have a son. And he prayed for it. And as we study through the book of Genesis, we realize he did a little bit of trying to manipulate God too. In fact, it's in this first reading from Genesis today. He says, well, God, you know what? Since you haven't given me a son, I have a solution to this. Eliezer is a servant who has been like a son to me. I'll just adopt him, and that'll take care of it. But notice that God says, no, that wasn't my plan. I promised you a son, and you will have a son. Abraham's faith in God and what God would do was incredible. Our problem quite often is that we have what one song refers to as the Gimme God Blues. It's from a musical, a Broadway musical called For Heaven's Sake. Now, I can't sing it. Have any of you heard of it? You've heard it. Okay, great. Well, I'll read a portion of it. It's a longer one, but it goes like this. I got the gimme God blues. I got the gimme God blues. Because God won't gimme what I want him to gimme. I got the gimme God blues. Want to be healthy. Want to be wise. Want to have all that money buys. the best of clothes, the smartest of schools, the king of breeding, the thoroughbred knows. Want to have talent, want to have fame, marry a man or a woman with a very great big name, want to take everything worth being took, want to shake down heaven till the heavens shook. And then the refrain again, I got the gimme God blues, because God won't give me what I want God to give me. Because when I get what I want to get, I always want what I haven't got yet. And when that's gotten, you can bet what I got wasn't what I thought I'd get. Oh, gimme, 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 gimme all I want. Gimme, God. Well, I think in some sense, aren't we all a little bit like that? We have that gimme God blues. We want God to give me, gimme, gimme all of this without thinking about what it really means. What are we going to do with it? And why do we want it? What's it for? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are we here just to accumulate, to gain for ourselves, so that we can stockpile it, so that we can have it for our own keeping? Or have we decided ourselves to put our faith and our trust in the one who gives us new life? Jesus tells his disciples over and over again that in fact we read that in the book of Hebrews also, that our true home is not here, but in heaven. That we can accumulate all we want here on earth, but we can't take it with us. Our true faith is within us, within our heart. The prophets led the patriarchs through the wilderness in many ways. But Jesus leads his disciples and teaches them as they go. I've told some people a story about the pet store where they had this big fish tank they put in the window. Anybody remember me telling? Well, maybe I didn't tell anybody. Okay. Well, anyway, they put this big fish tank in there that had water in it and a sign that said, Tasmanian invisible fish. Ichthyologius rarebus. And then the little sign that said on the side, 4 females and 2 males from New Zealand. Well, people would come and stare at that bowl and say, well, I can't see anything. How do you know that they're in there? And one little boy was watching very carefully. He said, I saw the water move. It's got to be in there. Somebody said, well, how in the world could you count those fish and find out that there were any really in there? And the owner said, I dip them out with my little net, and then I dump them out, and I count the splashes. Well, the disciples didn't have to count splashes on the water. They could look to the one who walked on water. And when it came time for John the Baptist to ask the crucial question, are you the Messiah? Are you the living one? Jesus didn't say, yep, I'm him. Didn't put a great big sign on himself saying Messiah. He said, no. Tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Wow. Every good Jew knew that those were the signs of the Messiah. Jesus didn't have to say any more because John would have known. His disciples knew, and his disciples followed all the way to the cross. They had seen and witnessed all of that as Jesus carried them through all the way not only to the cross, but beyond. The question always for us is, have we learned to speak the language of God? And have we learned to carry that language beyond? Do we carry it with us, either in our pocket as a necklace or in our lives, sharing the good news as we go, so that people will not have to say, are you a Christian? Are you really a follower of Christ? Or are you just saying that? Do you live it in your whole life? And as a congregation, we have to ask also, what is it that God has in mind for us? You know, he made a promise to Abraham that he would give him a son. And he gave him Isaac. And now he gives us a promise. Do we think that God has brought us this far in 100 years to say, well, that's all. Just close the doors and let it all go. Or do you really believe, as I do, that God has called us and gathered us and enlightened us with his gifts so that we can be his witnesses in the world? So that we can talk duck, if we have to talk duck, but we can also talk the Word of God, because we know the Word of God in our hearts. For that's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Are there people or concerns you'd like to add to the prayers today? Then treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation.
Lord God, bless and send your church out from each place of worship to be a light to the nations. Wherever we set out in faith, equip us to share our hope in Jesus Christ. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Bless and protect your creation, raising up stewards and innovators to nourish and sustain natural wonders many to number. Protect bees and butterflies, and send sun and rain where they are needed. Let us pray.
Have mercy on us.
Bless and govern the nations, uniting all humankind in seeking justice and peace. Fashion our hearts and guide our deeds in love. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Bless and comfort those in need, providing shelter to those without homes, food for those who hunger, companionship to those who are lonely, and health to the sick, especially Jan Pressure, and those we name in our hearts. Be their help and their shield. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Bless and sustain those wanting but unable to bear children, those in the adoption process, and the children longing for parents. Welcome in love those who seek homes in a new community or country, and give us eyes to see and hearts to respond to the needs of our newest neighbors. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Keep in your care the faithful loved ones who have died in Christ until we join them in the everlasting city,
whose architect and builder is God. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Thank you.
For us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age.
We know you came to rescue us. A baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. Our sins would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. Every breath you drew was yes and alleluia.
Said, my blood is shed for you, forgiven, remember me. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from the evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
peace, too. Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In faith toward you and strength through this gift, in faith toward you, in fervent love toward one another, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. saying, but I think it may be a message for all of us. Did you know that the quack of a duck does not echo? And scientists don't know why. So when you learn to talk to a duck, don't forget that you are God's echo to share the good news. So go in peace and remember the good news.